Have your copy of God's Word if you'll find your way to the book of Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter 4. I want us to think about the most valuable men in town this morning. Acts chapter 4, we will find here where two of these disciples, Peter and John, were being evaluated. The priests were taking a real strong, hard look at these two individuals, even went as far as to call them ignorant and unlearned. But it's interesting to note that these two, amongst with others, would do more to change the world than in all of Jerusalem. 13 men who changed the world. One doctor, one intellectual, and the rest were unlettered. They had no initials after their name, nor titles before their name. And you can look at the map and you can see how this world was impacted because of their lives. They were the most valuable men in town. And this morning I want us to see why they were. Acts chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, and they had been that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, God, for your word. Lord, so thankful for this salvation that has been proclaimed since your death and since your resurrection. Lord, at how this forgiveness of sin was made possible. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be much like these disciples. Lord, that we are busy with your work in proclaiming the gospel in these last days. Lord, hide me behind the cross of Calvary this morning. Lord, let these dear folk not see me, but God, if they would see you, speak to our hearts. Lord, save that one that is lost. Bring that one that is backslidden to repentance. The Lord will be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Why were these men valuable? Why? What sets these men so much different than perhaps any other person that was walking the world during this time? I want us to back up to verse number 10. The Bible says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." So, you saw where these priests had perceived that these men, Peter and John, were uneducated, that they were unlearned, that they were ignorant in these terms here. And so they didn't know that these people, these two, would have such profoundness about them, such a way of doing things. And then we find where this man was healed. And so he's standing before them here. And so in verse 10, we find where they were not unlearned and they were not ignorant about the Savior. They were not unlearned and ignorant about the Savior. They had been with Jesus. Notice it says that by, in verse 10, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, notice their words, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead. And so they had called them out. They knew that they had been with Jesus. The world needs people this morning who have been with Jesus. There are so few that are with Christ. There are so few that have spent time with Christ. There are many that know about science, but they know very little about the Savior. There are many who know much about mathematics, but very few know about the Master. There are many that know all about space and all of these things that happen in the galaxies that surround us, but very few know about grace. There are many who know about politics, but very few who know about God's plan. Many know about psychology, but few know about the one who solves all problems. The mystery here was of these priests that as they stood and saw these two unlearned individuals doing the things they had, the educational background of these fishermen, these nobodies in common society, and suddenly they were these great public speakers and theologians. Perhaps even knowing more than the priest themselves. What God will do with one who is completely surrendered to Him. You know, He can take nobody and make them somebody. He can take someone who has no title and no initials after their name. I can recall times, it's a running joke back home in Mississippi, the funeral home that I grew up in, working in, and I was, after all of these educational certifications that you could get within funeral service, and I've got a slew of letters that can follow my name, and they had made the joke, you know, that eventually I'll have the entire alphabet after my name. And you know, with all of that, what good is it? What does it profit a man to have the entire world and yet lose his soul? These priests probably maybe in their time had some great education and they had some great titles and they had some great letters after their name, but they were not completely surrendered to Christ. They were not completely surrendered to God's will, and so they could not do what Peter and John and Paul and the other disciples did. They were not unlearned and ignorant about their Savior. Verses 10 through 12, they were not unlearned and ignorant about the Scripture. The knowledge here that they had was an explosion. As we see where they were basically calling them out. If we saw verse 10, look at verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They were not unlearned about the Scriptures. Sadly, our increased knowledge has but deepened our dilemma. We have some great people that have great knowledge, and I'm not knocking education this morning. I don't want anyone to think that I'm anti-education or anti-theological schools. I'm not. They all have their place and all of that, but sadly, this increased knowledge has only deepened the dilemma that we have. We no longer have pastors and preachers. We have CEOs and presidents of corporations. We don't have those proclaiming the gospel anymore because we're afraid that we may offend someone. These men did not know books. They didn't know great writers of their day and their great philosophical ideologies that were going around in their day. They didn't know all of this, but they knew the book. They knew the book. Abraham Lincoln said that it is better to have knowledge of the Bible than other books. I don't remember this time in history, but I'm sure perhaps some of you would. Do you remember the time, maybe you heard your grandparents talk of it, when you would go to school and the only textbook was the Bible? There was a time in history where that was the case. Because everything you need is there, right? Everything. And so Lincoln to have said it's better to have this knowledge than of other books. Their knowledge of the Bible here, it equipped them to serve. Many of our great universities here in this country were founded to teach the Bible. Sadly, they have gotten away from that. Man foolishly gets too wise for God's book. Psalm 2, the psalmist says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." These men had knowledge of the Old Testament, and this knowledge of the Bible let them know what was happening here. And then look at verse number 12. They were not unlearned and ignorant about the Savior or the Scriptures. They were also not unlearned and ignorant about salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation. There's great importance in that word. What are we being saved from? To Noah, if you remember Noah and the ark, that ark meant salvation while others perished. You remember Noah as he was building that ark, how there was a great drought in the land. Y'all know the story. They hadn't seen rain in quite some time. It was a drought. Everything was drying up. It was dead, barren, desert land. And Noah's out here framing up this great, huge boat, right in the middle of what we would call a desert. In the middle of nowhere, he's building this boat because there is some rain coming. Now, you can only imagine that the locals were probably calling him everything under the sun, right? As most preachers get called anyway, right? That crazy preacher, you know, what is he up to now? Look at him out there, blood, sweat, and tears, building this boat in the middle of a drought. Even sadder to that story is the fact that they went searching for those that were righteous to get on that boat. And they couldn't find any. Only Noah, his wife, his sons and their wives were the only ones on that boat. Humans on that boat. They were the only ones found righteous in the eyes of God. How sad. If we look at our society today, if we were to begin constructing another ark and saying, hey, the flood, of course we know the flood won't come now because God promised to never flood the earth again. But nonetheless, if we use that as illustration, hey, destruction is coming, destruction is coming. That's what a lot of prophets proclaimed, was it not? And every one of them was called what? Crazy, lunatic, out of their minds until the rain started falling. And as this rain began to fall and how the earth began to soak it up and how the water began to stand, I'm sure that the locals were thinking, that preacher may not have been so crazy after all. It gets ankle deep, and they began to wonder, when is the rain going to stop? Perhaps it gets waist high, and they start pounding on the doors of the ark, let us in, before we perish. But once that door is closed, my friend, it's closed for good. Likewise, in our society, once God closes that door, once things began to happen, the end is coming and the end is near, and I believe it to be near. I'm not putting a time stamp on it. No man knows. But we're close. We're closer today than we were yesterday. We're definitely closer than we were when the disciples were out proclaiming the same message. And I can assure you that once that door closes, it is closed. To Noah, the ark meant salvation. To Israel at the Red Sea, Exodus chapter 14, it says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." People are trapped by problems and are perplexed. And these men could tell people how to get rid of their sin. He could tell them how to get rid of their problems. These men could tell the people how to get to heaven. But how many heed the word? How many heed that call that the end is coming? The end is coming. They were not ignorant and unlearned about salvation. Dear friend, I can tell you this morning that I may not know a whole lot about anything, but I can tell you a few things about my Jesus. I can tell you a few things about this holy book. I can tell you a few things about this salvation because I have experienced it. And I know that all of you have experienced it, and that you know this Savior, you know this Word to be true, you know the salvation that is available. And I can tell you countless stories of people that I know who have been the worst of the worst. But when Jesus comes, there's a change. Dear friend, you can be the most valuable person in your area. The need is great. When I was searching for what to do next, and I've about decided after 17 years of funeral service and countless times of quitting and then right back up in it, maybe it's just where I need to be, right? But as I was searching maybe for something else to do in life, I was looking, and I think I actually Googled something along the lines of the most needed jobs today, something along those lines. And it popped up a litany of positions, mostly in the medical field, various things. You know, if you were to type in what is the greatest need today, it's not for more food, while that may be the case in a lot of areas. It's not for more nurses or more doctors. The greatest need of today is those willing to surrender to Christ. To have this salvation experience, the greatest need is those who have been called to step up and to proclaim the gospel without fear, without reservation. The need is great. Can I encourage you to give your life to Christ for His service? To take time to be with Jesus. You know, some people can tell when you've been with the Lord or not. I walked into a convenience store just this morning. It threw me because it's never happened before. I walked into this convenience store. I don't know them people. They don't know me. I don't guess. I don't know. It's in a town I had never even stopped in before our community. I'd never even stopped in, but I needed to get some fuel. And as I walked in the door, this gentleman looked at me square in the eye and he said, "Good morning, Reverend." And I said, "Well, good morning. Yeah. I don't know you. Maybe you know me. I don't know." But then the lady at the cash register said, "Reverend, did you find everything this morning okay?" And I said, "Well, I guess I did." Take time to be with Jesus. Because those things people know when you have. People can sense there's something different about this person. Saturate your mind and heart with God's word and carry this message of salvation to others. God will use you to change the world. When I was in Cincinnati, I was pastoring a church in Calhoun County, Mississippi. And I had went to Cincinnati to hold a meet. This was before I actually lived in Cincinnati. I went to hold a revival meeting for a church up there. And as I was talking to some of the congregation as they was leaving, one of the families was from Calhoun County, Mississippi. And I just looked at them, and as I was talking to them, I knew the last name. The name had rang a bell with me. I wasn't quite sure. I thought surely nobody else from Calhoun County, Mississippi, is in Cincinnati, Ohio. But I was wrong. And I got to thinking, my Lord, what an example or a lesson this is for to learn by, because you never know who's watching. You never know who's who in our society because we're such a mobile society. So everywhere that we go, we should shine for Christ. Because as I said before, you've heard it countless times before, sometimes you are the only Bible people will read. How important it is to let our light shine, to be the most valuable person. Regardless of a title, regardless of letters after your name, let's be all we can be for Jesus. Amen. We'll extend a hymn of invitation this morning. This is your opportunity to do business with God. Perhaps this morning you just need to pray for yourself. I had a young man asked me just this week, he said, "Is it okay if I pray for myself?" And I said, "Absolutely. I pray for myself all the time. And I pray for those that have to deal with me all the time," right? Maybe it's just simply to pray, "Lord, help me to have this kind of heart. Help me to shine around those. Help me to be that light. Help me to be that contagious Christian, so that others sense you in my life." You know, these priests knew something was up with these two individuals. They knew that something was going on, that these were not just ordinary people, but they were somebody because they'd been with Christ. Maybe you need to pray for a loved one, a friend that you know is lost, or perhaps backslidden. Whatever the case may be, will you give it to the Lord this morning as we sing?